getting customered, improving your social media conversion rate.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey, the Conversion Scientist and author of the book, Your Customer Creation Equation. This presentation was recorded at Engage Mexico 2013 in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Talk to a conversion scientist to find out how your website can produce more subscribers, leads, and sales. Visit Conversion Sciences at www.conversionsciences.com.
Please help me in welcoming Brian.
Thanks very much. So whenever I do a presentation, whenever I do my own marketing, whenever I do marketing for my clients, it's very, very important that we leave the world of marketing myth and gut reaction and intuition and marketing superstition, and we begin to work using data, using information. We let our clients tell us what they want, we learn from them, and then we apply that. This is very different from what the web designer thinks should go on the page or what the CEO's wife thinks the colors should be. No, we want to use data. And I'm going to talk to you today about understanding what's going on with your social media programs, figuring out what will work for you, and getting more of that social media effort to turn into leads, subscribers, or sales. Is anybody here interested in getting more subscribers or sales from their social media work? Plus, you're going to do it in a measurable way, which means you can go to people and say, here's why we do social media. Cha-ching. So I want to start off with a story of my book. I have a book called Your Customer Creation Equation, and I have an offer for you at the end. But I got mentioned on this fantastic blog, Social Media Examiner. How many of you are familiar with Social Media Examiner? This is amazing. Somebody did a post. They did a review of 17 social media books that will make you a smarter marketer. Who doesn't want to be a smarter marketer? I was the number one book on the list, Your Customer Creation Equation. I had this lovely link right there at the top of the page. Look at this. Almost 3,000 tweets. Almost 1,000 likes. I am going to do very well here. They've got 200,000 Facebook subscribers. They've got 250,000 email subscribers. This is a great place to have your book, right? Right? I thought, cha-ching, I'm going to sell so many books. I couldn't have designed it better than that, right? And this took them all right to my Amazon page, right where they can buy the book. That's what you can do. And these pages are very heavily tested. So they've got to convert, right? Right? So this is what I got. You think that this is what it was? No, this was something that Lander did for me. Lander is a landing page company. They are, I think, primarily from Argentina. You might also know their other product called Doppler, perhaps. That's what this was. Social Media Examiner was right here. I sold 3 or 4 books the day that went out. 3 or 4 books. So I'm asking, where are all my book sales from this fantastic social media effort? What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And thank goodness I knew this, because I'm not going to be tripping over myself necessarily to go and get more postings on Social Media Examiner. But there is a way. It's not their fault. It was my fault working through the person that did the post. So they liked me, but they didn't customer me. And we want to get customered. We want to get paid. We want to get subscribed, right? I see a subscriber as a customer. They've just paid you with something besides money. They've paid you with their contact information. They've started a relationship. So I say we should treat our subscribers as if they were customers. So a little bit about me. I am a computer scientist by training. Went into technical sales out of college. Saw those IBM guys, sales guys walking around in their red ties and their blue coats, and I said, I could do that. Didn't work out that well for me. So I started my own company, and I did that through the 90s. I closed that during the dot-com bust, and then I became a corporate marketer. I worked for several technology companies building their online marketing. So when you put all those things together, I don't know what else you get. but a conversion scientist. So I was the first one, and there's not a lot of job postings for conversion scientists, so I started my own company, Conversion Sciences. I do speak around the world. As I said, I've got the book. And I'm also a Labware fashion model. Can't you tell? My company is Conversion Sciences. Our motto is, don't think, know. And we do conversion optimization, primarily split testing. Our major companies are e-commerce companies or companies that are generating leads that they know the value of. Our promise to them is, hire us. We're going to be a little more expensive than you want us to be, but we're going to find so much more money in your website that we'll look really cheap at the end of the day. So getting customered is really premised on content. We talked a little bit about content. You can't do social media without content, even if you're just generating 140 character content. And the idea is this: we can use content to charge our social media batteries. So I see our social networks as batteries. We're storing the attention of people. At some point, we got them to like us, to follow us, to friend us, to connect with us. And so we've stored their attention in that social media. We've got to find ways to discharge it. So when we've got our battery charged up, and we've got a lot of people in our social network, how do we discharge that? How do we get the energy out of that into something that we can use to get more customered, turn our likers into customers? And what I'm going to talk about today is how we use landing pages with content to charge our subscriber list, and that this subscriber list can be used to generate revenue. Okay, this is the primary method we're going to be using. I'm going to show you the tactics, on-page tactics, that should get more of your social visitors to become subscribers and to become purchasers. And of course, we want to be able to measure it all. So I'm going to show you some analytics. I'm going to use the standard analytics packages that you're probably using already. You probably already have. How many of you have Google Analytics on your site? How many of you don't know if you have Google Analytics on your site? You probably do if you don't know. It's standard operating procedure these days. So charging your battery, you get noticed, you get liked, you get friended, you get followed. Easy enough. But we want to tap it. We need to tap that source. We can continue to generate engagement. We can continue to do our posts. We can put awesome pictures up. We can talk about what's going on in our business. We can even do promotional things. But we've got to be able to tap that and get folks back to become members of our subscriber list or to buy from us. And the way we're going to do that is through something called social media landing pages. I'm going to focus on landing pages because it's where you bring them that really counts. When you do great content, how is that content going to work to turn them into subscribers or salespeople? I'm a revenue. So a landing page is a page that keeps a promise, first of all. So you bring somebody to a landing page by promising them something. In social media, we're often promising content. Come and read this great blog article. Come and see this product. Come and look at the category of thing we've got. Come and participate in our contest. But we're making a promise, and the first thing a landing page has to do, if it's a good one, is keep that promise. So we don't promise them a contest and then send them to our homepage where there's no mention of the contest. We don't promise them a product and send them to the homepage where they have to drill down and hunt to find that product. We bring them to the page that keeps the promise. Very, very important. And a landing page gets them to take action in some way. Gets them to take action in some way. Our favorite actions are subscribe to our list or buy our product. We love those actions, right? And those are pretty straightforward. Depending on where we think our visitors are in their buying process, it might make more sense to go ahead and offer them a product. It works like this. We've got a lot going on in engagement and interaction and stuff in social media, and that really helps people become more aware of us. It creates additional touches, and advertising is all about frequency. So social media, kind of on autopilot, can create a frequency of contact with our brand and with our products, and that's where it's really great. But occasionally those folks fall out because they actually need what we're selling. So all I'm saying is, why don't we get a little bit more purposeful about catching some of those folks that move from interest and attention to desire. They need it. They want it. They're actually trying to decide what product in your category to buy. We just want to make sure that we're there to catch them. And of course, content makes all of this Brownian motion of interactions happen. So this is the basic recipe for a landing page. Any landing page, anywhere, where you're bringing social visitors, you want to look for these components. We generally start off with the solution of web page, general web page, not your corporate template. And then we add an offer, something for them to get, and a form, some way for them to take action. And then we mix in a couple of catalysts. You familiar? You know the word catalyst? A catalyst doesn't participate in the reaction, but it helps it move it along. Proof, trust, and images. These are things that will help more people feel comfortable taking action, joining our subscriber list, or spending money with us, more importantly. And that is a landing page. So we've looked first at the offer. What do they want? And that's the way it's got to be. So you're spending a lot of time, and you learned a lot today, about what can I be doing in social media that taps the interest of my visitors. So your Pinterest folks, they want images. They want pictures of products, or they want comics or something that will entertain them. So you got to think about what do they want, and that's going to be the first most important thing that goes onto your landing page. So again, you're offering them something on social media. The first offer on your landing page should be what you promised them. And then you want to make them an offer that gets them to subscribe or to purchase your product. It can also be revenue. So the form is how they take action. How do they want to take action? Again, if they are coming to a product image and you think that they're ready to buy, the action they want to take is add to cart, right? But if you think they're further up in the funnel and they're really researching something or they don't have a need right now, then they might be interested in joining your list where you can continue to educate them and keep yourself top of mind through their inbox. So here's an example of a page that does both. This is a product page, which is a type of landing page. Deb does a fantastic job with social media. They're split testing, so they are experimenting with the things that work. And generally when somebody's split testing, we know that the ideas on their page are probably good ones, because the ones that work get kept, and the ones that don't work in the tests get left behind, just as Lon said in the last session. So I can add to bag, and that generates revenue. Add to bag, add to cart are the best calls to action in e-commerce. But they've also got this. Add to wish list, I want it to win, which says that if you click on this, that product gets added to a list using your Facebook information. So I click this. This is a Facebook Connect button called something else. And you get entered into a drawing to see if you can actually win that product for free. Not a bad little offer. Very different from connect with us. Learn more about us. Hear about us. It's about what do you want. So I think this is pretty smart. And this takes you, of course, to Facebook, where they gather your information. They get your name, they get your email address, if you're allowing that, and they actually can gather all sorts of things. Your friend list, your email address, your birthday, your current city, your personal description. If you're very sophisticated and can segment your subscriber battery this way, this data is invaluable. But for most of us, smaller businesses, we're going to be interested in their name and their email address and the fact that they were interested in this particular kind of product. So why build a subscriber list? So a lot of you think, well, if I put my products out there, more people are liable to buy. If I put the subscriber list in the middle, maybe some buyers are just going to join the subscriber list and not buy from me. The subscriber list uses email primarily, and it's the biggest social network on the planet. I want you to add email to your social list of social networks. On Lon's wheel, email should be on the social media wheel, because people share with it. Billions of users worldwide. It crosses all demographics. My grandmother, my 91-year-old grandmother, friended me on email years ago by adding me to her contact list. And we can share all sorts of things. We can share media, we can share links, we can share images. It's checked hourly by business people. If you're selling to business people, most business people, to their own detriment, but most business people guide their day based on what's coming in on their to their inbox. They check it multiple times. They set alarms. It's terrible for productivity, but if you're selling to businesses, that's where you need to be, in the inbox. It's personal. It's one-to-one. You can call them by name, and you can write to them individually, and you can be as personal as you like in your copy. And this list, this battery, is an asset for your business. It's owned by you, not by Mark Zuckerberg. He can't take it away. He can't change the rules. You own it, and if you're a good email marketing citizen, that list will serve you for months and years to come. If you want to sell your business, they're going to ask you, do you have any lists? It's valuable. And it works better. So the inbox, despite anything you hear about email being dead and the young generation doesn't use email, it's bunk. Email is the most effective. I'm going to show you some of the stats from my work that I just can't get social media to give me the results that I get from email. When somebody raises their hand and says, okay, I'm going to buy something from you with my name and my email address, they instantly qualify themselves as a better prospect, and those are the people you should be spending time with digitally. Here it is. So on this chart, referral generally means any other website. So social media is going to be under this referral, which is the second from the top. This is just people who have subscribed to my newsletter. Just people who have subscribed. And you can see that email is far and away the best source. Now, this is showing you that people who come through an email, even though they're already a subscriber, they're the best source for additional subscriptions ahead of social media. So content brings traffic to your landing pages. As I said, we start off with some content, something of interest, something to educate them, something to entertain them. Posts with links get more shared. I did learn today that posts with links are frowned upon on Facebook, so things are changing. Thank you, Andrea, for that. Links get prospects back to your site, and you can do it with frequency. So high-frequency content will get more people to your site and increase, as I said, the frequency of your communication. So content is a great initial offer to get people to your landing pages. You probably all know that. Here are the typical landing pages that you should be looking on your site for. And you might not think of some of these as landing pages, but treat them as such and you'll have better results. So the product page, e-commerce product page. If you have catalog e-commerce site, your product page is your landing page. Many of your social posts are going to bring people to specific products, and being specific is a great way to get people to convert. Pinterest will show pictures of specific products and will frequently bring people to product pages. Category pages. So if somebody's interested in a category of product, shoes, in this case, sports memorabilia for the National Football League, this allows them to understand a little bit more of your category. This is a harder landing page because there are a lot of different options, and the call to action is to click on one of the products. Custom landing pages where you've said, okay, I'm going to make an offer, I'm going to bring somebody to the page, I'm going to give them a form. This is probably what you most likely think of as a landing page, an offer, a form, and all of the components that make landing pages work. How about your blog posts? So how many of you use blog posts as an engine for your social media content? Just a few of you, really? So I think after this weekend, you're probably more of you are going to be doing that. When people come to read your blog posts, they're going to be coming to a blog page, and it's a landing page. So it needs to do those things: generate, keep the promise, the content is there, and generate more subscribers and more sales. And then there are social network pages where you can create special pages on social networks that allow you to convert people to subscribers and to buyers. And of course, home pages. Home pages are often landing pages. And these are the most difficult because the home page job is to present a multiple choice question. Where do you want to go next? So it's more difficult to be specific, to ask for a call to action, and to generate revenue. So the two general places that you're going to find landing pages are on network, on your social networks, and off network. So here's a Pinterest example. There's an on network and an off network. Here's an example from Facebook, a Facebook page, an app is what they call it, as you know, or one that's off network.
And Scott Stratton here has a Twitter page. His Twitter profile is essentially his social landing page for Twitter. And this is on his site. His new book is called QR Codes Kill Kittens. I haven't read it, so I don't understand the premise. But I now have a kitten in my presentation, and I'm understanding that that is a high conversion tool. So the most common landing pages I have found are the most effective and the most poorly designed are blog content pages. So if you're using your blog as kind of a volcano where you're using content to create pressure and then spew it onto the internet through social media, through RSS feeds, through email, all of which can be automated, and there's a chapter in my book on how to do that, the blog is the most typical place where people are going to come and interact with you. And if you look at the analytics for anybody's blog, you're going to find very few people going to the blog homepage. More people are coming to specific articles because that's what's interesting them. So where do you make offers? We're going to talk a lot about blogs, but this can apply to almost any page. Where do you make offers? Where do you say, please subscribe? Where do you say, please buy the product? There are a number of opportunities. First of all, if you have a blog and you have it's separate from your sales page, your sales website, if you have a blog and an e-commerce site, if you have a blog and a corporate site, make sure you make it easy for the people coming to your content to find your sales site so they can begin the purchase process. Here's a very simple way that Blue Acorn has a little thing on the side of their blog that's always there no matter where you scroll so that they can always get back to build, attract, optimize, and learn more about them. Just one technique. Top of the sidebar is most common. Right there. This is from CopyBlogger. These guys also do a lot of testing, so we think that they are doing a great job. Subscribe to the blog and also some free ebooks and courses, all of which are to charge their subscriber battery, to build their subscriber list. So most of you probably will put your subscribe to my blog call to action right in this place. So there's a little bit of blindness over on that side, especially with the ads. So what are some other places that we could do this? Social triggers, this guy does a lot of study. He puts his right at the top of every page. Enter your email and get free blog updates. Again, he's charging his subscriber list, and all he's asking for is an email in this case. Above the content. Here is in content. This can appear below the headline or anywhere in the content itself. So as I'm reading, I might have essentially an advertisement for the blog appear in the content. But if somebody is reading your blog, if they're going through and consuming the content, they're indicating that they're interested. And so they're more likely to respond to a call to action in the content. At the end of the content, here's a long page, again, on CopyBlogger. But at the end, they actually put, right before the comments, they put a video in and an offer. You can start the sales process in the header. So here is a blog that supports an e-commerce site. And instead of saying, go back to our e-commerce site, they actually have calls to action that say, you're looking for men, you're looking for women. Or you can find your shoe. I mean, they're going to take them right into a purchase process. This sort of thing can be very, very effective. So how can you get from your blog page somebody to take the first step into buying or really understanding your product? They also have a floating toolbar here at the bottom that is sticky and provides more information. The arrival overlay. How many of you hate popovers? Everybody raises their hand typically. Some of you are more, either you're tired of raising your hand or you like popovers, which I've never heard of. Everybody says they hate popovers. However, we have to be lying because these work very well. They work very well. And so people that are interested in what you're doing, they're presented with the opportunity to subscribe. The feeling is, oh my gosh, if I don't, I'm going to be left behind. And so they'll subscribe. And those that don't, they click the X. Now, some of these get pretty aggressive. Here we've got one for Conversion XL, which is a conversion optimization site. They say, no thanks, I design websites that are unresponsive. That's their opt-out on that. And I saw this other one for this is a brand yourself social media, an interesting social media tool. No thanks, I'm going to keep my limited account for now. So they're actually getting pretty aggressive about making you feel guilty about closing their popover windows. I haven't tested this, so I'm not going to say go off and do this, but I'm seeing a lot more of it. The scroll triggered overlay. So as I'm scrolling down, again, I'm signaling that I'm interested in the content. So as I scroll down, I can get an overlay that makes an offer. I haven't given you an opportunity to subscribe at the beginning before you've read the content, but now that you've read the content and you're interested, we'll give you an opportunity to subscribe. If you like this, you're probably going to like 13 ways to increase your conversion rate right now. And then the sticky overlays. These will be at the top or the bottom. They're bars that stay there regardless of whether of where you scroll, and they make offers about, in this case, 101 Personas 101, which is an ebook offer. So here you're using content to get people to your landing pages. And in a lot of these situations, you're using content to add them to your subscriber list. You're essentially using the energy stored in your social network to charge your subscriber battery. And of course, don't forget to put them in your mobile template. It's very easy these days, if you have a blog on WordPress, to drop a template in and have your blog look really good on mobile devices. But you want to go back and make sure you're adding those calls to action, join my subscriber list, or have you gone and started shopping at my store. Another thing we can do is ditch the form. So with social media and OAuth, we actually can do just like DebShop did. We can come in and we can have them connect with Facebook, with Google, with LinkedIn, and we get all of the information we could possibly use directly from the social networks. Don't have to fill out anything. This didn't test well for a while, but there is an advantage to this in that these items are trust symbols, and we're going to talk about the importance of trust symbols. So if I see Facebook, Facebook's letting them connect, maybe I can trust them a little bit more. And maybe that little bit more is just what you needed to get more people to join your subscriber list. So what works best with all of these things? If I was to pick the ones I would test first, these would be the ones. The add to cart, free commerce, as I said, add to cart, add to bag. No need to change that as the primary call to action. Arrival popovers for subscribers, as I said, they work really well. Even though everybody says they hate them, they do work. In content and above content for blog posts. The great thing about in content is if your blog post gets shared on social media through an RSS feed, then the offers will often go out with the content. For instance, all of my blog posts get rolled up into an email newsletter every week, and so those offers, like an offer from my book, will actually go out in the email because I put the offer in the content. So are there any questions about making offers and where to make offers and why to make offers? Pretty straightforward? Good. So let's talk about building some trust. The next thing you want to do is build some trust. You want to become credible. You want to be safe. You don't want to look shifty. I'm not going to fill out a form if I think you're going to spam me. And there's some easy ways to do this. Here's an example of Mogul Mom. She uses a social proof and trust building. So what you want to do is look for other companies that are more well known than you and add them to your page. In this case, she's using media companies. She's been represented on Entrepreneur Magazine, ProBlogger, Etsy, e-commerce. Open is the American Express blog. And you can use your customers' logos and borrow from them. That's another great source of trust borrowing, we call it. But all of these work to make the visitor feel like, I can trust you. They also use this 5,448 subscribers. Well, if 5,448 subscribers have subscribed, I'm probably pretty safe subscribing too, right? Right? Social proof. Proof of credibility. Here is as you can tell, I'm a conversion scientist. So here's another conversion-oriented blog, and they put up there that they're Google certified. Better Business Bureau in America is the most well-known business monitoring service. So if you are a friend of the Better Business Bureau, people generally think that they can trust you. PowerAge 150 if for a blog. And you can go and you can buy TrustGuard or McAfee certifications, which say that your blog is set up and that it's not hackable and that it's legit, but it's really just the symbol there that makes me feel good about it. Most people don't really know what these mean, but they know that the symbol makes them feel safer for some reason, and that's the nature of trust. And when you use buttons, you can borrow trust as well. So rather than have add to cart by itself, you might show check out with PayPal to show that it's an option. That's one reason. The second reason is you're borrowing trust from the PayPal brand. Same with Google, Amazon. And when you put credit card symbols on your site, you're not so much informing people that you take these credit cards as, again, borrowing trust from these well-known financial institutions. They certainly wouldn't let you put their logo on your site if you weren't trustworthy, right? Right? Any questions about trust, trust symbols? Has anybody used trust symbols different from these? And there might be some Latin American trust symbols that are more common. TripAdvisor, if you're in travel, Puerto Vallarta, absolutely. So if you are, and do you have to go through a process to, so if you're in TripAdvisor's good graces, that would be awesome if you're in the travel industry. Associations, any associations that your company's a member of will help. So content provides the primary proof. This is why great content converts better. How good are you? What is the proof of how good you are? It starts with your content. And since this slide doesn't have any content, you must really wonder about me. I have a broken slide. So the proof is what you say about yourself. So what you would be seeing here normally is a call to action box that doesn't say subscribe to our blog, but it gives some reason. It gives some reason why you should subscribe to your blog. What kind of topics do you talk on? Is there a bonus that goes with it? These are the things, the material things, the features and benefits on a product page, the ratings and reviews that are on a product page, if it's an e-commerce site. These are the things that you use, and this is what this is typically what the copy of the page does for us. So images, I'm going to show you a couple of graphs just from some posts that I've done. As you start to, we're going to talk more about how to implement these sort of things, but images are very important. As you know, on Pinterest, images are queen. On here on Facebook, I have this blog post that included some very, what turned out to be very interesting graphs, did very well and brought a lot of traffic back to my site. The chart you're seeing at the bottom is for this period of time, how many people came from each of these social networks to this particular page. So Facebook preferred this. Here you can see Pinterest. This is an infograph that I shared on Pinterest and across all the social media, but clearly Pinterest was more interested in the infographs. And when I do Twitter, it seems if I provide some video or some audio, that tends to get reshared more, and so I get more traffic from Twitter on those things. You may find something very different, but what this tells me is that I need to be doing a mix of these things in particular, in order to get the maximum traffic from social media. And then we want to avoid abandonment. Let me back up and just say a couple of rules about using images on landing pages. So first of all, avoid stock photography. We understand it's very common in the U.S. A company says, "Oh, we want to appeal to the Hispanic market," so they go to iStock Photo and they find some happy, smiling Hispanic people. Don't you guys feel pandered to when you see that? Wouldn't you rather see real customers? Wouldn't you rather see relevant images? So avoid the stock images. Your web designers are going to do that because it's lazy. But if you can do things that are relevant, it will work better. And always use a caption. Captions get read. So especially if you have a relevant image, captions get read. And you know, captions are a great place to put calls to action. So if you have a picture of a property, describe the property. This is our villa that's in this part of Puerto Vallarta, and if you want to register, here's the phone number. That can all go in the caption. Captions get read as frequently as headlines, so use those captions. Plus, we hate pictures that don't explain themselves, so we want captions. It can be in the picture, it can be below the picture, but you need to explain the picture and use that opportunity to make it a call to action. Abandonment. How many are familiar with what abandonment is? Besides the familial abandonment. I'll say, abandonment is when somebody starts to take action and then they don't finish. So they might start to fill out your form and they don't finish. They might add some things to the cart and start the checkout process, but they don't finish. On a landing page, we can measure abandonment by how many people bounce. Bounce is when somebody comes, they stay for a very short period of time and leave because A, they weren't interested in what you had, or B, you didn't communicate that they were in the right place. Keep the promise that you made and give them what they were expected to have. So we have some problems in social media with abandonment. When we put pages in social media, there is a lot of distraction. All of this stuff over here on the side generates abandonment. So I may come to your page and be very interested in it, but then something moves over here. This moves. And when something moves in the human brain, we think, tiger. So we always have to go and make sure it's not a tiger. Motion is your energy. So there is a real difficulty with these pages in getting people to take action. Rather than coming down and seeing some of these photos, and normally in these apps is when we would have calls to action for people to come and join our subscriber list or to purchase from us. So be very aware that if you have a choice to bring them to one of these pages or to bring them to a page on your site, you may prefer the site. In making that choice, though, you have to realize that when they leave a Facebook or when they leave LinkedIn and they come to your website, there's a switch. So they've left the happy blue place with all their friends and they've come to your site. So there is a cost to bring them to your site. But you'll find through your numbers that whether or not distraction is killing you or not. I mean, Aunt Myrtle's wedding pictures. Oh, I'm gone. I'll never come back to your page again. Here's an example from the Get Elastic blog. When you're bringing social traffic to a web page and then inviting them to join you on social media, it's a little bit redundant, but this is also a distraction. So I could be reading your page and these could provide some trust symbols for me, but if I can click on these and go away again and say, wow, I haven't seen Aunt Myrtle's, I hope they didn't forget to copy me on Aunt Myrtle's pictures, you'll lose them. So use your social media connections wisely. On a landing page, I say take them off. It's on the thank you page after they subscribed or after they bought that they're really going to want to connect with you. This is a psychological thing called liking. And the fact that I bought something from you makes you a better brand or makes you a better business. Because I'm not going to buy from somebody that's not good. So you're going to get more social engagement from the thank you page and less abandonment when you want them to subscribe or to buy from you. So are there any questions about abandonment? Anybody feel like they've got abandonment problems on their page? High bounce rates? Anybody with high bounce rates? No? Okay. Maybe you don't know. Let's find out how we find out. Analytics. So analytics is the process of asking your visitors what they want without asking them. If you do a survey and you say, what would you like on our website? How would you like us to present things? Do you like video? Do you like the way our website looks? They will lie to you. They will lie to you with good intention. They will think because they're in a different mode when they're evaluating you versus when they're considering spending money with you or joining your list. So analytics is great because you put things up and it's like an ant farm. You get to watch the ants drill through the sand and find out where they go and how they behave. And so it's very, very powerful because it tells you how people act when their process of deciding if they want to be your friend by subscribing or buying. So the first question that analytics can answer is, how is my network growing? There are a number of tools that I use, and all of these are going to be straight-up reports. We're, our scientists, we can go in and we can use Excel to do all kinds of fancy correlations and stuff. These are things that you guys can subscribe to a service like Hootsuite, like Spreadfast, and get this information pretty easy. This is coming from a service called Spreadfast, which is really an enterprise tool, but one that I use because I love all the analytics. But we can look at this, and we can say over the last year that all of my networks, this is Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Pinterest, Google+, all added together, how they've grown. I can go and I can look at it on a network by network basis. So all of these lines are up and to the right like we'd like them to be.
What is this?
It's called Spreadfast, S-P-R-E-D-F-A-S-T. I'll show you, I'll introduce you to the tools a little bit later, and you'll see the logos and know where to go and get those. Content drives engagement. So even though my network is growing like this, the engagement that I get, the activity, the likes, the shares, the mentions, the clicks, change according to what I'm sharing. And it's a very interesting study. So Spreadfast does a very good job of letting me know what things generated some of these humps. And I can go back and say, wow, I need to do more of that. This one was, I was featured on interactive infograph. And these two humps came from a presentation that I did in Germany in Stockholm. And of course, there was a bump there from Engage Mexico as well. So these are the tools that allow you to get an idea of what's working for you. But there's more. There's more we can learn with some of these free tools. How many people are visiting my landing pages from social sites? So any entry place, according to analytics, any place where people come into your site is a landing page. All right? So regardless of whether or not you've designed it like what the landing pages we've talked about today, this is what social media thinks. So first of all, this is all of the Twitter links, and this is a standard Google Analytics report. These are all the Twitter links that I shared on one particular story. And what's interesting about this is you can see visits from social referral versus all visits. So we launched this page, and then there's this echo going on. These are people that are coming to the page through these links, but later. So they've come during this time, and this is the number of times they've returned, is essentially. All of these little things. Here's when I shared it on social media, and then here's where the people that saw that came back to the site. So you can get an idea of what the ongoing is. So if you can imagine, if you're tweeting twice a day, I mean, if you're posting content twice a day, how all these little ripples add up and become a regular stream to your landing pages. So if your landing pages aren't doing a good job, you're missing all of this opportunity that you've generated. Which content is most interesting to social visitors? This is a great question. Again, another standard report from Google Analytics lets me list all of the landing pages and filter out everybody but those people that came from one of the social networks. So I can see here that this one, The Science of Pricing from Blog Growth, this was a guest post that did very well. There are a couple of things that we want to look for here that give us a hint as to how well this is really doing. So we got the most visits, we got the most page views, but we didn't get very much, people didn't spend much time on it. They spent, on average, less than a minute on the page. So I'm more interested in people who are coming and spending 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, or who are visiting, who are coming for a long time and visiting a large number of pages.
This is on Google Analytics.
This is... Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Yeah. So this one is available from Google Analytics. So I want to find not only those pages that get the most visits, but those that seem to keep people around longer, higher engagement, right? And I'll also be able to measure how many of them are buying. So I want to know from the social networks that I am marketing on, how many people are buying. This is for an e-commerce site. And this is the traffic over a period of time. And I can see the people that came from Facebook were the most numerous. Yay. But they only bought $11,000 worth of stuff. People that came from Pinterest, and as I said, this is an e-commerce site, so this makes some sense, had fewer visitors, but they were more likely to buy. Almost twice as much money was bought by people coming from Pinterest. So if I want traffic, I'm going to spend my time on Facebook. But if I want revenue, I'm going to spend my time on Pinterest. So these sorts of things help you prioritize. As Lon said, there's 1,000 things you can do, trillions of combinations. So if we can use our analytics so that our visitors tell us who wants to buy, we can really focus on what we think is important. And you can run reports like this for subscribers as well, how many people converted to subscribers from each of the social networks. So where am I losing visitors? Google Analytics has a very interesting graph called a flow graph. And you can go and you can actually see where your website is chasing away people who come through social media. So these are visitors from Pinterest. And we can see that the homepage, which is the one at the top here, it's the slash, and I know y'all aren't familiar with this chart, but that first one is for the homepage. And the red waterfall, as you might guess, is the people who abandon. So they leave at that point. So people coming from Pinterest to this e-commerce site abandon something above half the time. But if they come to the shops, which is where the product pages are, they're abandoning, a larger percentage of them are abandoning. So that tells me a couple things. Should I be driving more traffic to my homepage? Maybe from Pinterest. But maybe there's something wrong on my shops page. Maybe there's something I'm doing that is not giving me all the things that a good landing page has. Am I keeping my promises? Is it very clear what I want them to do? Is it very clear that they're finding the proof, that they're finding the trust, and that they're seeing the images that they expect to see? I want to go look at those shops and see what's going on. If you did this for your blog, you might find that your specific blog-specific pages are chasing people away. So what are you doing that's not getting them to stay and to take action? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
Again, standard report in Google Analytics. Very interesting information. This is the same one on Facebook. Here you can see most of the traffic is coming to the shops. A smaller number coming to the homepage, but the same thing from Facebook. The shops don't seem to be keeping people's attention. Is it too specific? I don't know. So the way we do all of this is a couple of ways. First of all, we want to attach some homing beacons to our stuff that we're posting. Because something goes out on Twitter, it gets shared across Facebook maybe because of our cross-posting. It can find itself forwarded back and forth. So we want to be able to track things. URL shorteners are a great way to do that. Many of you already use tools. How many of you use like TweetDeck, Hootsuite? So they will automatically take any URLs you have and shorten them so that you can get some idea of which of those links is most clicked, which is getting the most attention and most shared. When you use the URL shorteners, you can also add some additional things to your URL that tells your analytics where they came from. So in all of those reports, I can actually check on a campaign-by-campaign basis which of my social networks was doing the best.
Sometimes they give you an option to hide the URL shortener from Facebook. Does that mean that it gets not tracked, or it's just not shown to the person seeing?
When you hide a URL?
Hide it, yeah. Like on Facebook, we don't see it so often. When you see posts, you don't always see the URL. Is it embedded? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. We've got some experts in the room, or we did.
I wondered whether it actually kept it there or did it continue tracking. I guess I'll just have to experiment.
I think so. I mean, the bottom line is it's going to behave the same way as any URL. So if it gets ditched, it's going to get ditched. The URL, shortened URLs don't spend any more time, and they don't have an advantage. Yeah, if you want people to click on it, how else would they click on it?
Well, it's in the picture, like a picture.
Oh, like a picture. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. You can use it just like any other URL. It doesn't matter. So you could attach it to a picture. You could attach it to a link. So did y'all hear a question? Can we use the URL shorteners in images as links? And the answer is yes. They work just like any other link. Okay. So I use Captix and Bitly, and I actually use my own domain. Both of these provide a pro level that will allow you to use your own domain. Which is a little bit extra branding. So instead of Owly, people will see Conversi, which is my shortened one. Mission Control is where you're sending, receiving, and doing analytics. As I said, I use Spreadfast. Hootsuite is another, probably the most popular, Mission Central for social media sharing. Some of you in enterprises may have some of the more expensive tools, but these do a fantastic job of helping you schedule and manage your social networks and of keeping track of what's going on, giving you some of those graphs for growth. And Google Analytics is just continuing to add more and more. They can tell you, as you get more drilled in, they can tell you when social media has contributed to a conversion. So maybe they came through on search and bought from you, but if they came in at any point through social media, Google Analytics can tell you that. So you start to get data on how social media is influencing purchases, not just how social media is driving direct purchases. And if you're not familiar with Google Analytics, it might be scary at first for you to go in and look at these things. Don't try to boil the ocean, as we say. Go in and find a few graphs that are of interest to you. Start looking at them for different times. Click on a few things and make a few mistakes. If you can spend a couple hours a week doing that, you're very quickly going to begin to understand things that are going on with your visitors. And it's very, very powerful and easy to use tool. So I would encourage you all to mess with it. You don't have to be statisticians. And some of you are going to find it very fun. But if I was a social media person and the CEO is kind of going, why are we spending so much money on social media? I don't see it. I would be all over Google Analytics because there's proof is in there. It's in there. So what would we do in the case of our little predicament here on Social Media Examiner? If I had control and I could do whatever I wanted to do, I was going to get my book posted on Social Media Examiner, what would I do? Would anybody like to give me an idea? Raise your hand if you're brave enough to say, what would you do based on what we've talked about here? Anybody?
Get their email instead of a like.
Uh-huh. Well, how do we get their email? What do we need to put in place? That's right. So link to a landing page, my own landing page that I have control over. Awesome. And we know that landing page needs to have an offer. So we're going to come up with an offer and a way for them to take action. Exactly. Do a landing page that says, in this case, I would offer a free chapter of my book because I think the people coming from Social Media Examiner are going for the content. They're not looking for the best price on my book. So if I could offer something a little bit easier, a little bit more enticing, offer a free chapter, and I'm going to ask for their name and their email address. So in one fell swoop, I'm educating them on my product and I'm adding them to my subscriber list so I can continue to offer my book. I'm going to create a landing page that has all the right components. So this is one that I put together very quickly using a service called ShopLocket. I've got the images there. I've actually got an Amazon bestseller badge on there. I was able to put that on there. Talks about me and who I am, so that helps build trust. And when I describe the product, that's where I'm building the proof that it's worth buying. But this is a free product, and it's just a free chapter for download. So you will get the download link to this. And then I'm going to create a link using a URL shortener. Conversi.com/free chapter is where I would send them so that I can track how many people are coming from Social Media Examiner to ShopLocket. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any analytics. I wouldn't know how many people are clicking through. And when I compare the number of people that click through to the number of people that download the book, I get my conversion rate. So those are the two primary numbers that we need. So let's see if it'll work here. I want to offer you a free chapter of my book in Spanish. Now, my book is not in Spanish yet, so if you like it, you'll have to read the English version. But if I get a lot of folks downloading the free chapter in Spanish, I'm going to have the doggone thing translated. I've offered, since we're in this environment, I can't have you fill out a form. So I've offered a QR code. Anybody who's interested can take a picture of the screen and go to the link, to the landing page, and download a free copy of my book. So feel free to do that. You'll also have access to the slides and can do it from there. Or you can just go ahead and enter conversi.com/engage chapter, and I'll have a good idea of How many of you guys actually take advantage of the free chapter? This is the chapter on landing pages. It's chapter 8, one of the most important ones. And it talks about the things I talk about here and much, much more. This book is really written for folks that manage websites, not for folks that are doing the work. So if you need to know what questions to ask your web designer and developer, this is the book that should help you do it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. This is the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey. Subscribe to the Conversion Scientist at www.conversionscientist.com. And be sure to check out my book on Amazon.com, Your Customer Creation Equation. You'll learn a lot.